Today we are bringing to a close our preaching series on the life of David, which we've been in through the summer months here, and I want to begin by sharing with you some quotes. You may have heard some of these before, but probably not. George Washington said, "'Tis well." Stonewall Jackson said, "'Order A.P. Hill to prepare for action. Bless the infantry to the front rapidly. Tell Major Hawks, let us cross over the river and sit under the shade of the trees." Joan of Arc cried, "Hold the cross high so I may see it through the flames." John Kennedy said, "That's obvious." P.T. Barnum said, "How were the circus receipts in Madison Square Garden?" And Beethoven stated, "Friends applaud, the comedy is over." Jesus cried out, "It is finished." What all these quotes have in common is these are famous and maybe not so famous last words spoken by different people. Everyone has heard about famous last words, those farewell speeches, and that's often what people are remembered for. We think of General MacArthur saying, "Old soldiers never die," right? They just what? Just fade away. Yep. Today we conclude our study of David by looking at some of his last words, his final words. And these probably aren't the last spoken words of David, but I think these are the last anointed words of Jesus or of David, the last time he's speaking as if speaking for God. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I think you'll see as we look at these final words that even as David knows his life is ending, that he's still faithfully seeking God. He's still hungering for God. And even though he's about to pass from this world, he recognizes that God is still in control and in control of his life. So let's read 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 7, for a message entitled, "The End of an Era." The heading in my Bible says, "These are the last words of David." The inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, 'When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made me with an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. As I begin this message today, I want to apologize for some of the points that I'm sharing here, because I'm pretty sure they're not proper English, okay? But I like the way they, I think you understand why they are stated as they are stated. And I think David in this passage gives us four principles that you and I can engage with every day as we seek to faithfully follow God, just like David did. The first principle is this: to faithfully seek God, you need to remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. And as David begins these final words in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, he's being reminded again of where he came from, where his roots were. That he was a boy from Bethlehem, a shepherd boy, the son of Jesse. He remembers that he's Jesse's son, and by now David's father has long since passed away, but he still remembers that he was the son of Jesse. He remembers that he didn't come from royalty, that he came from a working family, They had brothers. He had a family. He remembers his roots. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought." And here is David. He's remembering his humble beginnings. He's at the end of his life. He's been king for 40 years. And he's looking back and he's remembering his childhood. He's remembering his younger years as Jesse's son. And then David continues, though, by saying that he was exalted by the Most High God and anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. He remembers that it was God who rescued him from being a shepherd and placed him in the palace. It was God who watched over him and cared for him. Remember, it was 10 years after David was anointed to be king that he finally became king. And in those years, what was Saul trying to do? Trying to kill him. And David recognizes that God had watched over him. David became Israel's singer of songs. He wrote 73 psalms. There are 150 psalms in our scriptures. 73 of them are written by David. Think about that. Virtually half of the psalms are written by David. David worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He danced before the Ark of the Covenant, as was shared in the kids' sermon here today. He sang, he celebrated. His musical spirit was a part of who he was and how God had made him. You know, friends, when we remember where we come from, we can remember how God has made us. I can't help but remember each time that I visit my parents that I am the third of four children born to Willis and Dorothy Richardson. The last boy, the quiet one. Right? Remembering where you came from. You know, we all change as we grow older. I understand that. I'm sure David changed as he got older. But remembering where you came from, your roots, your family background is important. And David, in his final words, that's where he begins. Son of Jesse. I'm just a son of Jesse. Remembering where you came from, your family, your values that shaped you as a child is a key first step in seeking God faithfully. The second step is to remember who your God is. Who your God is. David recognized in verse 2 that the Spirit of the Lord spoke through him, that the God of Israel, the Rock of Israel, spoke through him. David had this tremendous relationship with the Lord, and I believe God spoke through him that enabled him to speak to the people. And he had this dynamic relationship that just continued to draw him closer to the Lord. He recognized that his God was Israel's God. And so that when he spoke, it was God's Spirit speaking through him. David recognized that it was the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. His references to God are very telling. The God of Israel spoke. David in his Psalms often referred to God as the Rock. And God that enabled him to be a king for 40 years and to deal with the complexities of that. David recognized his true security was in the Lord. God was his rock when his family revolted against him. In difficulty and uncertainty, David knew God was his rock. David then says, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after the rain that brings the grass from the earth. Very poetic language from David. He's not declaring here that he ruled in righteousness. He's certainly aware of his shortfalls, but he instead is looking forward to the king who will reign on his throne forever. He's looking forward to the coming Messiah. I don't think for a moment that being a king is an easy task. David probably would amen that. You know, he spent much of his time at war. There were always enemies threatening David and the welfare of his country. Even his son Absalom tried to overthrow him. He had to wait 10 years before he could even become king. And then he ruled for 40 years and would be revered as Israel's greatest king. It begs the question, why? Why does Israel consider David their greatest king? Was it because of his personal integrity? I don't think so. Was it because of his accomplishments? Not really. Was it because he understood the voice of God in a troubled time for God's people? Perhaps. David was a man after God's own heart, and he sought God faithfully. And he always remembered who God was and how God had called him and how God had anointed him to lead for such a time as this. And I think that is why he is revered as Israel's greatest king. One of my favorite leadership books that I've read multiple times is entitled Lincoln on Leadership. It's a summary of President Lincoln's leadership principles. In many ways, he was like David. He always remembered where he had come from, that he was a rail splitter and a country lawyer from Illinois. And he maintained a humility about him that won the hearts of people. David was faithfully seeking God, and by doing so, I think that kept David humble. But Abraham Lincoln was the same way. He was president during the tumultuous Civil War, when his own people were killing each other. And he sought the Lord daily for strength to lead in times like that. And perhaps as a result, he's become known as the greatest president in our history. Friends, to faithfully seek God, remember who God is. The God of creation, the God of mercy, the God of justice, the God who's involved in your life every day. A God who wants to do even more in you and through you. A God who has given you his heart of compassion, his eyes of grace, his hands of helping, his spirit of love. Remember who God is. Spend time in his word each day. Verse 5, David says, "Is not my house right with God? Has he not made me with an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire?" The next point we want to make is this: to faithfully seek God like David did, we need to remember God's promises. We need to remember God's promises. And we have some wonderful promises of God in his word. And friends, too often we forget the promises of God. David probably didn't know how God was going to do all these things, how he promised that his reign would go on forever. David probably scratching his head, how's that going to happen? But God promised it. God made a covenant, and God would keep his word. One thing we know about God, that he is faithful to his promises. You and I, we're not so faithful to our promises, are we? My wife has a list of promises that she claims I have made, which includes so many things that I've lost track. And now my kids have picked up on that too. Well, Dad, you promised, right? You promised. So I've learned to just keep my mouth shut at home. You know? Don't say anything. We're not very good at keeping our promises, are we? God's faithful keeping his promises. He never fails. We fail all the time, but not God. God is faithful to his promises. I love the old saying that you can't break God's promises by leaning on them. That's so true. At the end of David's life, you know what he's doing? As his health is failing, as his time is running out, he's leaning on the promises of God. I'm so glad we sang that hymn today. Leaning on the promises of God. We know, of course, that God's promises, God's covenant with David was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. God's covenant with us is that he offers us salvation through his son, Jesus. And it doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what kind of life we've had. God loves us and still offers us salvation. It doesn't matter if we've never known him or if we've walked away from him. The offer is on the table. It is God's promise to us. And finally, David remembers God's judgment, verses 6 and 7. And I think these verses are very telling. I find it interesting that in David's final words, he talks about the judgment of God. He realizes that God of judgment, that wickedness, evil, sin have no place before God, who will surely judge those who refuse God of sin through Jesus. It seems to me that David had a healthy understanding of the judgment of God that perhaps we no longer do. We see the contrast of the wicked and the righteous. The wicked are to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. These are weeds that have grown up and need to be cleared. These are thorns that I think of when I think of thorns. These are the wait-a-minute vines that trap you while you're walking through the woods. To grab them by the hand doesn't work. They'll cut your hands to pieces. The Bible says whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron. These are some serious vines that trip us up. The Bible says that the wicked are to be cast aside like thorns, not gathered with the hand. And when they are gathered, they are burned where they lie. What is David saying? Simply this. Our God is a God of judgment. Our God is a God of judgment. And to faithfully seek God, we need to remember that truth. We need to remember that promise, that God's judgment will indeed prevail. We have lost a real sense of God's judgment. Jesus said, actually, that for every idle word that man says, he'll be held accountable for on the day of judgment. Our very words will be judged. Our attitudes, our actions, judged before God. That our God is the God of love, absolutely. The God of judgment, sin. David dies. But I want you to listen to how Max Lucado, in his book, Facing Your Giants, describes the death of David, the great king. Max writes this, David is hours from the grave. A chill has set in that blankets can't remove. Servants decide that he needs a person to warm him, someone to hold him tight as he takes his final breaths. Do they turn to one of his wives? No. Do they call one of his children? No. 1 Kings chapter 1, 3 and 4 says, they searched throughout Israel for a young woman, and she cared for the king. But the king did not know her. Israel's greatest king died in the care of a stranger. Why? Because he made strangers out of his own family. It was the end of an era. David is one of those larger-than-life heroes of Scripture, a man of faith, incredible courage, a man who sought God faithfully, but he is also a failed husband and father who alienated his own family. A man who grieved the heart of God in his sin. And if there's anything that we can learn from this flawed hero, it's this. Seek God faithfully. Seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah 55:6 tells us. Call on him while he is near. Yes, we should seek the Lord faithfully. But you know what? We should also cherish our family. We should also cherish our spouse and our children and our grandchildren. We should seek God in the home just as much as we do in church on Sunday or Wednesday night. Become a man or a woman after God's own heart. This series began back on June 1. And David's story points to the greatest story of all, the story of Jesus. And the stories of David and Jesus are similar. Bethlehem is the birthplace. Jerusalem is the place of rule. Jesus, like David, walked pastures of sheep and palaces of kings. But there's one big difference. For Jesus, there was no Bathsheba collapse, no Uriah murder, no adultery. Village to village, camped with the enemy, or neglected a child. No one accused Jesus of polygamy, brutality, or adultery. Peter, he never did one thing wrong. Pilate said, I find Jesus never. About 1,000 years after David's, Jesus Christ was born in a manger. And he died to be our Savior. And on each day he rose. And that and not David, our hero of faith. Why Jesus was a killer? Because the greatest giant was sin and death, and only he knows that you and I are more like David than we care to admit. That we sin, we grieve, but God sent his Son to that sin. He allowed him to be no sin no sin to be sin, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. God was not ashamed of David. He's not ashamed of you. He calls you his sister. Do you call him Savior? Today could very well be the end of an era for you, the end of the wandering, the searching, the failing over and over again. Maybe today is the day for you to call Jesus Savior. Maybe today is the beginning of a bright new future with Jesus leading the way as your Savior and Lord. Is today the day that you need to put behind you a painful past once and for all, to move beyond brokenness and bitterness, to finding new life in Him, to say to God, yes, Lord, I believe, and I surrender. I give it all to Jesus. He is my King. It is the end of an era, but the beginning of a bright new way of life, a life found in Jesus Christ. Friends, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, Lord, why would you not take that step of faith today? Why not put an end to an era of selfish, sinful living, the end of a season of bad decisions and broken promises? Start today. Make the end of summer 2025 a day where you begin walking in the newness of life that comes through faith in Jesus. May it begin today with you and me. The end of an era. The beginning of a dynamic new life of faith with Jesus Christ enthroned upon our hearts as Savior and Lord. To the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we have been walking with David through his life, seeing David in his great moments of victory as well as in his great failures. And now as his life comes to a close, we recognize that he faithfully sought you and that you looked beyond his worst failures and declared that his reign would never end. And it would never end because of Jesus Christ. David is a hero of the faith, but the true hero of our faith is Jesus Christ, the one who would come 1,000 years later, the one who would give his life at Calvary's cross, shedding his life's blood for the redemption of our souls, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we don't have to live with brokenness and bitterness and disappointment every day, but we can live in the newness of life that Jesus provides. So Father, today, if there's one here who wants to end this summer season, this summer preaching series, with a step of faith, trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, Father, if your Spirit is speaking to them in this moment, I pray that they would repeat these words after me. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I'm tired of living in bitterness and disappointment. I'm tired of living as a failure. And I know Jesus Christ gave His life for me. That the blood He shed was for the forgiveness of my sins. So in these moments, I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I invite Him to cleanse me of all sin in my life. And grant me the Holy Spirit in this moment to walk in the newness of life. Father, we thank You that Jesus and not David is our hero of the faith because of what He accomplished for us at the cross of Calvary. Help us to live as David lived, faithfully seeking You, but living each day and each moment of our lives for Jesus Christ, our true hero. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.